Sports Page Podcast. I'm your host, Paige DeMacos, here with Jake Arians. And it is the day after the Super Bowl, and we have a lot to talk about. I will not, as much as I want to ask you right off the top, I will not do that. We will talk about the game first. So let's break down the game. We also got Hype Train behind the producer, Mike. Hype Train, I'll go to you first, okay? Did you think, Hype Train over there, can you hear me? He's ignoring me.
Hello?
How
can I help you?
Hello?
Hype Train, I need you to answer me whether or not you actually thought the Eagles had a chance going into that game.
I predicted them to win.
You did.
The people who were watching in the office yesterday can attest to this.
I as well predicted them to win.
You both did.
24-21. I was way off on the score because I had no idea that there was going to be no defense played in last night's game. Zero. None. At all. And I did not predict that after watching what the Eagles defense did in the NFC Championship game to the Minnesota Vikings. And just what we've seen from Belichick and the Patriots in the past, I was not expecting a almost 400 yards
especially
passing.
The way the first half went.
Exactly.
Bend but don't break, kick a field goal, another field goal, miss extra point. We're just kind of scrambling through the first half, and then this offensive explosion breaks out.
Yeah. Your hands are up in the air.
Doug it's just, Peterson, man, what a... All right, first of all, I picked the Patriots, so
yes.
I'll take it on the chin.
Yes.
Did anybody really think they weren't going to pull it off in the second half when they came back?
Absolutely not.
Gronk has 68 yards or whatever it is in the first drive of the second half.
Okay, so here's the only reason why I didn't think they were going to. Something about Doug Peterson going for it.
It reminded you of somebody?
I watched that play and I go, this is the only way that you beat the Patriots. You don't get conservative.
Just like beating the Seahawks in Seattle.
Exactly.
You got to go beat them. They're not going to beat themselves. They're not going to give it to you. You got to go take it.
You got to go take it.
And my God, did they take it with some of the ballsiest calls I've ever seen. Absolutely phenomenal.
So that's all well and good, right? We want to give Doug Peterson all the credit in the world. The fourth down trick play, scoring a touchdown.
There isn't enough credit in the world to give to Doug Peterson, honestly.
He went for it later on in the game on fourth down. He went for it on fourth down more times than I thought you would ever go for it in a Super Bowl. Yet he went conservative at the worst possible time.
Yeah, the last one.
He did, because I'm getting a text from the guy that I'm saying, does this remind you of anybody? He goes, this is when you slash their throat.
Exactly.
And you go deep right now.
On that drive.
I was pissed.
That they ended in the field goal to make it 41-33.
Yes.
You have to throw it at least once on that drive.
I agree.
And
100%.
Second down is the perfect time. There's 2:03 left. New England wasted their last timeout.
I'm with you.
No matter what you do on that play, the clock is going to stop with the 2-minute warning. The play is going to take at least 3 seconds anyway.
Yep.
Hike the ball. Let your quarterback make a play. You score a touchdown there, the game is over.
That's exactly what I wanted to happen. And there were a lot of expletives that I will not say on this podcast coming out of my mouth at that moment because I was watching Doug Peterson be exactly what he needed to be the entire game. And in that one moment, he chose not to be that guy. And I could not understand why the foot was on the throttle, but it needed to just go all the way down.
I agree
down.
With both of you, other than I started having this feeling, and I literally text my buddy, right then, one of these defenses has to make a play to win this game. This game cannot
for
end.
Sure.
I think, I mean, maybe, and that's a really gutsy way to do it, to play conservative and hope that your defense is going to make that play.
Uh-huh.
Can we talk about Nick Foles?
Yes.
The biggest reason I didn't pick
the Eagles.
I would
love to talk about Nick Foles.
And I talked about this at length with a buddy that was writing articles on this. I didn't think he could do it 2 weeks in a row.
I agree.
The way he played the NFC Championship, there's not a quarterback alive that could have played better.
No.
I don't think there's a quarterback alive that could have played better than he did last night.
Nope.
He was dropping dimes. These are not – that RPO stuff that they run, he's so good at.
Yeah.
Not many teams run it. He's not going to be there after about another month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
My God, he was phenomenal.
So
absolutely
good.
Phenomenal. Alshon Jeffrey helped him on the first one, but where he threw the ball was the only place you could throw it to make the catch.
Well,
the
and
dude
the,
was spectacular.
And the one pick wasn't his fault. Where it was in his arm and he dropped. I mean, I don't even call that a pick because it was in his hands. But I mean, what he did with that offense. Now, that leads me to my question to both of you here, and that is to say, I don't want to say that Carson Wentz didn't have a great season because he had a great season.
He's the MVP of the league.
Okay, but seeing how successful Foles was, does that make you think it was a lot that the credit should maybe go more towards Frank Reich and Doug Peterson and John DeFilippo and what they were able to do with Wentz's progression and help him and what they did with Foles, does it make you go, you know what, maybe it's a little bit more about the system than it is necessarily about the quarterback? I'm not taking away. I'm not saying Wentz doesn't deserve some of the credit, but he was getting all the credit.
He should.
I think.
No, maybe, I don't think it's that at all. I think they did a hell of a job with his progression. I think they did a hell of a job realizing what his talent is and what it could be in year two.
Okay.
And the stuff that he did that was unscripted is why you win a lot of games and you have the number one offense in the league.
Yes.
Foles is limited in what he does. He runs the RPO stuff great. When that offensive line's fully healthy and you're playing a Patriots team without a lot of pass rush, fine. There's no chance Carson Wentz isn't the superstar of Philly going forward.
Oh, no, 100%.
And deserves a ton of credit for them being the number one seed.
Absolutely.
Nick Foles was great in week one against the Giants, and they almost lost 2-4 touchdowns. Terrible the next two.
For sure.
God-awful. Gets to the playoff game, god-awful in the first half against Atlanta, plays pretty good in the second half.
For sure.
And then turns into Superman. A lot of that is the coaching staff, but it's a small sample size. So if you go back, like we've talked about a few times this year, when you go break a team down, you're breaking down 4 or 5 weeks. They didn't really have that. The Patriots only had 1 week of really seeing a ton of this RPO stuff because they didn't run as much of it as against the Falcons as they did in the Super Bowl. And then when you're running a lot of that, you're running slants. And you saw a bunch of these little skinny go routes and stuff. They're running off an RPO. Then nobody's running.
For sure.
That's the stuff that coaching deserves a ton of credit for. I mean, there's enough to go around. They were all phenomenal.
Hype train.
Yeah, I think the difference between Wentz and Foles you saw yesterday in the sense of to get Foles in a rhythm in that game, it was just short little button hooks and curl routes and slants, and they just set him up early to make those big throws. Because really, it's the Jeffrey throw and the Corey Clement throw. Those are the two big throws in the game.
I'm going to give you one more. There's a 3rd and 4 on the first drive of the game. That Foles rolls out to his left, buys a little bit of time.
Yeah, I know.
Rowe comes in on a slant, and Alshon Jeffrey breaks out, and they get the first down.
Yes.
And he put it on the money right there, a little run after the catch. That was huge.
That was huge.
And then that got him going, to your point, was they got him in early. Both games, what surprised me is his movement in the pocket, buying a little extra time, and then just putting it.
His movement in the pocket and a couple throws that he made where I went, wow. A couple throws last night where he put it between, there was a throw nearly, I mean, he hit a window between two defenders.
The Aguilar drop was the one that really stands out.
There were like 3 inches, and I was like, dear God, that's an impressive throw.
He was unbelievable.
Especially on the run.
The Ertz touchdown to win the game is also a play. It was a little bit of a broken play. He had to move around a little bit to be able to make that throw, and that one worked out really well for them. Also, can we discuss how the stupid catch rule almost ruined the Super Bowl for the NFL.
All right, yeah, and first of all, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, relax. That is two
not the same
very
play.
Different plays. And Cowboys fans, shut up, because that's not even remotely close to the same
time
thing.
Frame. Yes.
All three were catches, though.
All three were catches. If we're going off of what a catch is, all three were catches.
But the difference between, if you watch the Pittsburgh play, his knee goes down first before he crosses the plane.
Okay. Zach Ertz caught the ball, was a runner.
And went over the plane, broke the plane with the ball.
There was no question. We're going to talk about a call. Go back to the other one.
Yes. Now, that one I thought should have been reversed.
According to the letter of the law, yes, but I thought he had possession with both feet
down. I agree.
Now, the 3rd foot came down out of bounds. So if you're saying, like Chris Collinsworth, he was juggling it, maybe not. Letter of the law, they could have overturned that one.
For sure. That's what I'm saying.
Every time the Patriots play in the Super Bowl.
I was shocked.
Both of those
I was shocked. I could not believe that the Patriots did not get the questionable calls.
It stunned me that the broadcast, specifically Collinsworth, was so adamant.
Oh, adamant.
That the Ertz touchdown should have been overturned. I was stunned.
I was too.
That was the clearest
catch. And then tried to backtrack afterwards after they said it was upheld.
Like, I get it. You throw your hands in the air. I don't know the rule. But to be that adamant about it, I thought that was the easiest decision to make. And they took forever. I got nervous.
James and then the Pittsburgh-New England game. You watched it and you go, this is going to get overturned.
Yeah. And
it's stupid, but it's going to get overturned.
And it's very different. They're two completely different plays. I understand. It's stupid. The catch rule is stupid. And we're still, the fact that we're even arguing about it, because when I watch the play, it's a touchdown. The fact that we even have to be here where we're talking about that play that was so clearly a touchdown.
Yeah.
And Collinsworth, I thought somebody tweeted and it made me laugh that it's time to take them out to the same pasture that Old Yeller was on. And I laughed very, very hard out loud because both Collinsworth and Al Michaels sounded very old in moments last night in certain scenarios, whatever they were talking about. It was, I don't want to go too far into that, but it did make me laugh listening to
that. Was one of them.
Well, you just,
they were more emphatic about that one being overturned than the other one.
I don't get it almost, and I get the rating and you want the team and you want a good game and whatnot, but it almost, sometimes I don't buy into that when fans are like, it sounds like is cheering for one team. Man, it sure sounded like they really wanted the Patriots to come back in that game. Sure, there was a lot of Patriot talk in that broadcast throughout the thing. And I get it. It's the Patriots. But, you know, if I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan and I'm watching that game, it would drive me a little crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, hype train.
You can't do a post-Super Bowl podcast without discussing the commercials and the halftime show.
Well, obviously.
I just wanted to make sure we got that in.
Listen, if there's one thing that I tweeted last night that I was proud of, okay, my mom texts me before the halftime show, okay, and I'll show you two the picture, and I'll tweet it out later.
By the way.
Yes.
I got to see this dog tag.
That's exactly where I'm going.
Owning me.
So my mom texts me and says, honey, I've got this for you. I should have sent it for you to wear throughout Super Bowl week. So I'm dying, right? Because my boyfriend thinks I was making it up, like didn't think that I had it. And I was like, No. Like, you don't understand. Like, I was 8 years old. Like, NSYNC was the biggest thing in my life.
I'm not going to say how old I was then.
So, okay. So, it's 1998. There's a store. I don't even know if Limited 2 is even in existence anymore. Okay? Limited 2 was this store that literally sold girly t-shirts and, like, clothes. Okay? Well, at the time, they had an entire NSYNC section. NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, Spice Girls, all of them. Okay? So, they're selling tons of stuff. So, I'm going to my first ever NSYNC concert. So my mom takes me to the store. She took me out of school for the day. It was like the best day of my life. She lets me buy one thing. She's like, you get one thing. So I buy a military dog tag that says, I love JT. Okay? So my mom finds it. I told you guys about this
you
that
told
I had.
Me.
I told you I had the dog tag. So my mom finds it, sends me the picture. So I'm thinking about it all throughout halftime and I'm laughing. So that's why I tweeted. I was like, hi, my name is Paige DeMarco. So I'm 28 years old, and I would still wear my I Love JT dog tag now. And you're damn right. When I go to his concert in May, I'm wearing the damn Love JT dog.
I'm coming.
Yes, hype train.
Bit of a hot take.
Oh, boy. If you have something negative to say about JT, just turn your mic off right now.
Well, he rocked the house, dude. There's nothing.
Oh, no, I thought it was awful. I thought it missed. And here's why. I love JT. Love him. He's very good. Love everything about him. He's hilarious. He's funny. He's very talented. So I want to make that very clear. But you have a halftime show. No NSYNC. No Janet Jackson. No Britney Spears. You just missed the boat. You missed the boat on a big
moment. Then you got to knock the NFL because that ain't on him. There's no way they were going to let that happen.
It's not him. Janet Jackson would never be
allowed. Did you
see
the background dancers? One, it was 8 degrees outside.
Yeah.
That was a kickoff. It was probably negative 20 by then. They were all... But that was the anti of anti anything sexual. It was just fun. And good.
On purpose. That was NBC, NBC and NFL mandated. There ain't no way in hell they would let Janet Jackson in the building, let alone on the stage.
So no Britney, no NSYNC?
Britney hates Justin.
So no NSYNC
She broke
then.
His heart.
Fine, no NSYNC then?
Are you kidding
way
me?
Back. No, and you NSYNC, can't bring NSYNC
You can't
back.
Bring NSYNC JT. Back? No.
JT's so much bigger than that. Now, a little Jay-Z for a little part I was waiting on.
I thought
Chris
Stapleton?
I was waiting on Chris Stapleton for like a little pop-up on a piano.
Chris
that would have been dope.
They missed all the opportunities.
No, they didn't. It's not their call. And Chris Stapleton had a show. Otherwise, he would have
been. Would have been cool. I'll give you that. He still brought down the house.
Would have been now. Cool. Yes. JT is standalone act. Don't need any of those guys.
No.
Sorry. He's not Bruno. I love Bruno. He don't need nobody else. He's entertainment all in and of itself.
He was great.
And his moment was sharing the stage with the Prince hologram and giving some love to Minneapolis and the whole thing turning purple, which was unbelievably awesome.
That was awesome.
Well, what you got?
By the way,
oh boy, here
we go. The internet was not happy about the Prince stuff.
The people from Minneapolis were happy.
Yeah, because the internet was not happy because the internet dug up some quotes from Prince about him not wanting to be turned into a hologram after his death.
Yeah.
Just the internet was not happy. That's all I'll
Here's
say.
The thing.
It was a cool tribute.
It was a cool tribute. It was great for the city of Minneapolis. And the people who are from there, like, sorry, everybody else. This ain't about you. It was about the city that was hosting. And the city that was hosting hosted a Prince tribute, like, 3 of the 5 nights that I was there. So I'm pretty sure they were cool with the Prince shenanigans that was happening.
Now, commercials, I got to give my boys at Sprint a little love.
Okay.
Because I laughed
they did
out
some
loud
good.
At that freaking...
They did some good.
When the robots started making fun of dude,
yeah.
I was laughing.
Funny but creepy because I hate robots.
Oh, no, it was.
Totally freaked me out.
Really creepy. But very I was creepy. Still dying laughing as they're over there talking smack.
What do you got over there, Hype Train? What's your favorite
commercial? I would like to give credit to whoever at the Tide Marketing Agency.
Very good.
Said, if we spend a little bit extra money to get into the first block, we're going to ruin everybody's Super Bowl. Because they did that first ad where if it's clean, it's a Tide ad, and they confused me. Every commercial from then on, if I didn't see a stain on somebody's shirt, I thought it was a Tide ad. I swear, every ad that went up, I was like, oh, it's a Tide ad.
Okay. Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Doritos and Mountain Dew. Okay.
Awesome.
Morgan Freeman rapping, like, I don't think it gets much better than that. Like, I was watching that, and I was dying. The only thing that topped it, the only thing, Eli Manning, my boy, okay?
My new lid I'm rocking today, by the way.
New York Giants lid. First and foremost, shout out to the NFL for getting Odell Beckham Jr. and Eli Manning to not only participate, but to thrive in that
commercial.
There was
a bunch of offensive linemen that came out and joined in with a little shimmy, shimmy. How many takes?
So many.
What's the over-under on how many takes? They had
so many.
Dying laughing to do this.
So many. Odell Beckham, first and foremost.
The hair flip? was phenomenal.
Eli, okay, I watched the Patrick Swayze. I watched it, okay, because I watched that commercial maybe, I've watched it at least 10 times, maybe 15. I went and watched the Swayze scene with Jennifer Grey.
On.
It's spot on, but dear God, Eli could not be any more white.
No,
he is
no,
so
no, it was
white.
Awful.
It was so awful. Funny.
Which made it so much better.
So much better. And Odell's facial expressions, and even just the little part where the guy is talking to the coach and goes, let him dance. Let him dance. Just on, just
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, Landon Collins
little,
over there breaking it down.
Little
let him go,
moments,
coach.
So funny. What you got over there, Hype Train?
I mean, of course the Giants would thrive in a Patriots Super Bowl.
Hell yeah.
That's what they do best.
Of course they would steal the thunder from their division rivals. That was the best part of the night.
The best part of the night, and lots of Eli Manning is undefeated against Tom Brady Super Bowls. Very funny jokes came out of all that.
By the way, can we talk about something else? The Super Bowl is the best, by the way. The,
for
the
sure.
week, minus... this Phoenix Open, because it's its own animal.
Yeah.
We'll get into that some other time and how bad I feel right now. Does Giselle play for the freaking Patriots? How many damn times do I have to see Giselle's facial expression during a freaking game? I get that she's, like, bigger than life and maybe bigger than her husband, but save me, man. I don't need to see that shit 20 times.
What you got?
Now you're making my job hard, Jake. Now
sorry,
I gotta go
that's,
back
that's,
and tweet
I mean,
that out.
That's how I feel. Leave
what
it out there.
Hold
I own
what time?
It.
It's, okay, 17-minute mark. I gotta go back and edit that.
Here's the thing. With the Giselle stuff.
Like, you could show me Bradley Cooper a few times. I don't need to see it every 5 seconds.
He was up there a lot.
With Jeffrey Lurie, but that was real.
Yeah. I'm
like,
with you.
Did you see Giselle's quote?
Yeah. Let people win.
To the kids?
Can we?
Every now and again, you got to let somebody else win?
Okay. So, can we talk about that? Because there's part of me that's like, okay. I don't.
Golic Jr.'s tweet was spot on. I loved it.
I didn't see that one. I got to.
You mean lose.
Yeah. You mean lose.
Yes. You didn't let anybody win.
Here's the thing. Obviously, the Eagles won, and they were not let to win.
No.
The other thing is when you talk about, there's a little bit of a language barrier. Giselle's first language is not English.
I'll give you
sometimes
that.
When you hear her talk, you can tell that English is not her first language.
The Portuguesa kind of kicks in a little bit. I got you. Okay.
It's definitely different. So you look at certain things and you're like, oh, okay, I think this is what she meant. So I want to let her slide a little bit. Plus she's Giselle, so I let her slide.
You
a
let
little
her
bit.
Off the hook last night. On some of the tweets. I saw it.
I let her off the hook.
I'm not letting her off the hook. I'm not letting the NFL. Like, look, I like to look at her too, but I don't need to see it during the game. I just don't.
Here's my thing.
It was like she was part of the friggin' Patriot staff or something.
I know.
Come on.
Maybe she is.
Chris over there is like, maybe she is. Maybe she is part of the staff.
TB12.
She definitely... The part of her, we'll talk, we'll keep it Giselle related. The cool part was a couple of the reporters tweeted that last night she was down in like one of the tunnels.
I did see that. I give her a ton of props.
She was shaking all the Eagles players' hands and saying congratulations. And he said that all of them looked starstruck, which does not surprise me at all.
That's what you do if you're down there.
You're down there and it's Giselle Bündchen and she's coming to shake your hand and they're like, oh my God, that's a Victoria's Secret model. But isn't it cool that that's Tom Brady's wife? Like, it's almost, he lives a fairy tale. Like
best tweet of the day.
Okay.
Was Tom Brady, I'll give him props on the jacket. The jacket was, kind of bomb.
He looked fly.
The glasses, not so much. And no. I still don't know what the hell this haircut is. He's the only dude that could pull off a bad haircut like that.
It's not a haircut. But he got hair plugs.
Well, that's when he had the rockin' long hair like 5-6 years ago.
But he has hair plugs now. He looks like he has a 12-year-old boy haircut.
But that doesn't mean it has to like halfway come down your back of your neck. Anyway, the whole tweet was, yeah, I don't get why Patriots fans in Boston relate to Tom Brady so much in this whole thing.
That was Carlin. That was Jared Carlin from Arizona Sports.
Funny. Went on this whole thing about it. I just don't get it. I don't see how the Boston fans.
YouTube banter, because I'm going to read that tweet.
Please. It was.
Because it is so.
And there's like this picture of this jacket, which I like the jacket, by the way. I'm giving him full props for the jacket. But it wasn't sunny inside.
No.
In the tunnel.
But it's always sunny in Philadelphia.
Wow. And you are Tom Brady. So I'm going to give you your props.
Okay, here we go. So shout out to Jared Carlin for this, my old buddy from Arizona Sports. I see why the people of Boston relate to Tom Brady so much. Just like them, he's a down-to-earth working man who was born in Silicon Valley, is married to a supermodel, wears Uggs, eats avocado ice cream, and dresses like this.
They're totally the same.
Phenomenal tweet.
It's awesome.
Phenomenal tweet.
It is awesome.
Because, yes, we're looking at the picture. Tom, the jacket
is... Not only is the jacket banging, he's like popped the collar,
the jacket,
turtleneck on under
the
it.
The outfit is phenomenal. The sunglasses are subpar. And...
The best. The look at Brian Hoyer behind him.
Could there be more polar opposites in life than those two?
Here's my backup quarterback, and here's Tom Brady. That's the best part of the picture is Hoyer's behind him, bald-headed with some big old Beats earphones on, like, way sticking out.
Oh, my God. I need this photo forever.
Brady looks like he could be a Bond villain.
Yes.
He is a Bond villain.
He is a Bond
villain. Well, I know. To the rest of the NFL, he is the Bond villain. He could be a Bond villain in a movie with that outfit.
That is a very good – that's very good over there, Chris. Now, the last question I have, aside from the slander of JT, okay, because it's very wrong, okay, because not only JT's performance was phenomenal, but the reason it was the best reason is he literally played all the bangers. Like, he hit all of his his great hits all in a row, phenomenal. Everybody was dancing. I needed the Al Michaels shake your booty.
Actually,
they should have shown it.
Actually, sounded pretty good on TV.
Oh,
all the Super Bowls I've been to, you're like, dude, this is pretty good. And everybody's texting you, this sucks. It sounds terrible.
No.
Actually, it sounded good on TV.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Which means it was really good live. Because that's really hard for the sound to come through decent on TV.
100%. The last question here is what I did my video on today. Okay? And that is, listen, in every other Super Bowl, every other time, I've never been the this is over train. I've never gone there. Just because it's been too young. The defense was too young. The team was too good. Now. With all the stuff that's come out this year, okay, there's been a lot of turmoil that's followed the Patriots this year. This was the rockiest 13-3 season and team I have seen in a very long time. Lots of ups and downs, lots of bad moments. That with the splash in that there are a lot of young, talented quarterbacks in this league that are only getting better with better teams, okay? The Eagles are coming back almost intact, and Carson Wentz is coming back. Jared Goff and the Rams, only going to get better. Minnesota Vikings, I don't know that. Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers wasn't healthy this year. There's a lot of good teams. Now, mind you, those are all in the NFC, okay? The biggest reason why the answer to this question is probably going to be the way that it is because their division is not very good. But is it time to, I don't want to say it's over, but is it time to legitimately start thinking that maybe this team, this reign, and not even Belichick, but more so Brady Belichick together, that this reign is over?
No.
Okay.
No.
Not even thinking twice about it?
No.
Okay.
I know for a fact Belichick's not going anywhere, and Tom Brady's the MVP of the league that just threw for 500 yards and 3 touchdowns in the damn Super Bowl at 40 years old. It ain't over.
Okay.
Period. If those two are together, they're winning the AFC East.
Even though he's going to be 41 years old at the beginning of next season?
Damn. Did 40 look like it was that far from 35?
No. Nope. But did we see what Peyton Manning in 1 year, in one season, how quickly that progression went away?
With a massive neck surgery and nerve damage.
For sure.
Without injury. Tom got through this one without injury.
For sure. But you can speak to this since you just turned 40.
Thank you. I can.
Wow.
Your body,
so far, so good,
that's
by the way.
So far.
My goodness.
I'm kind of digging 40 so far.
The body can change very quickly.
Yeah.
The body can, and especially you take a couple shots, something happens. 41 does
not... I'm not living on all this crap from the TB12 either. Boy, I'm telling you, he's coming back. He's going to play good. They're going to win the AFC East with a bunch of more no-names. And they're still going to be there.
Okay.
Whether they can keep going to the Super Bowl, they're on the downhill.
That's what
they're
saying.
They're on the downhill of
That's
this
That's all
this
I'm
deal.
Asking. Is this the downhill of this...
But it ain't over.
What you got, Hype Train?
It's not over. It is going to rapidly destroy itself, though.
I think so,
it is
too.
It is going to be a rapid destruction.
I agree.
Towards
That's where
an explosion.
Yep, I agree.
Maybe.
See, here's where I would think it would different. Now, all the great things we can say about Tom Brady. If they had kept Jimmy Garoppolo, if they had kept him, and they were just going to insert Jimmy Garoppolo and get a couple young, and they got a couple young defensive guys that they could have drafted this year if they had gotten some draft picks for Jimmy G, then I would think, oh, the turnaround might happen a little bit faster. Because as much as I love Tom, Belichick, I think, could do it with a lot of people. I really do.
He can absolutely do it. Can. It's more Belichick than Brady.
100%.
100%. It's both.
It's
but
both.
It's more Belichick
it's
than Brady.
Both,
I'm a firm believer in that.
I
sure.
agree.
This thing ain't over. It ain't going anywhere. I'm telling you.
Do you think that this...
By the way, that stat was the first time in NFL history somebody threw for 500 yards and 3 touchdowns and lost.
Yeah. Well, that's stupid. You shouldn't throw for 500 yards and lose a football
The
game.
Patriots also didn't punt in the game and they lost.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If you're a Lions fan, are you excited about Matt Patricia as your head coach today?
Go ahead.
Hold on. Last night was a great night for the Detroit Lions. They got to watch a former head coach coach a terrible defense on one side, and they got to watch their future head coach coach a terrible defense on the other side. It was perfect.
Very good point.
The Lions were well represented in the Super Bowl last night.
Here's another thing that kind of popped up during the game that I guess this McDaniels to Indy thing is still up in the air. So I don't know
for
if
sure.
it's posturing because
you got
more
one
money
side,
out of one
same
side.
One thing
or is there something coming out of New England of it might be one or two more years. We want you to be the next guy coaching waiting.
That's the only thing.
The next
that
couple
I...
days will be interesting to see what happens there. As I was under the impression that the Indy thing had
done.
Been done
for
a while, for
sure.
just like Patricia to Detroit. So that's something to watch.
What you got, Hype Train?
So the McDaniel stuff is interesting to me because I could understand him maybe rethinking leaving to Indy if he knew Belichick was going to be done in one or two years. If Jimmy G was still there. The moment Jimmy G got traded, there's no reason for McDaniels to stay because this idea of I'm the New England coach in waiting doesn't mean anything. You don't have a quarterback succession
exactly
plan.
Exactly.
You don't have anything.
No, you don't know
I'll
what the hell
to
Bill's going to hang it up either. I'm bouncing to Indy and having Andrew Luck.
Yeah,
and
I'll go to
my
Indy and
have
a good quarterback.
Coach. Yeah,
right.
No, because let me tell you, they're hard to get.
Yeah. And
there's
they don't,
32 of them and they're really hard to get.
Yeah, and there's about 10, maybe 8 that you would put in the good category, above average
and
category.
And having Andrew Luck puts you above the good category.
100%. So you're not – I think – I want to go back to Hype Train's point because he said, and I agree with him, that I don't think we're there yet, but I think we're on the down cycle where this team – where I would be willing to say that I don't know that I'm – I don't think this current regime is going to win another Super Bowl. I don't. I think I'm there.
I'll say that.
I don't
yeah.
think they're going to win another Super Bowl. They might make another one, but I don't think Tom Brady's winning another Super Bowl. I really – with all the talent and the young quarterbacks in this league, I just don't see – how that's going to happen.
They're,
I really
they're
don't.
They're capable.
They're
but,
very capable.
But I agree with you. I don't think it's likely to happen. I would
Which
say
is,
that there's...
It's, I would take the field.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm taking the field.
But would you guarantee me that Tiger's not going to win another major after watching his return to Torrey?
No.
I don't think I'd go there either.
No.
Not likely. But I agree,
For
I'm
sure.
Not
but back to what Hype Train said, that this quickly, that's how I feel that it would happen too. And maybe not next season, but I think the season after that. Where it can go from things are hunky-dory to real bad real fast.
There are a couple injuries from that happening and being a catastrophic collapse.
And
that's Brady, Gronk. Although, you know, Gronk's talking about last night, I'm going to...
Retire.
Yeah, I'm gonna reassess my future and what's going on here, and I might hang it up.
Here's the thing with the Gronk stuff. I don't think he's going to retire, but Gronk's had quite a few concussions, and I think also has had some concussions that maybe...
He's also had knee and ankle and elbow.
Exactly.
I mean, he's been beat up.
And
he's
I think,
played through a lot of stuff.
And I think the other part of that is like some concussions that maybe haven't been reported, because we all know that happens. And quality of life, man. Gronk likes to live.
And he's made a bunch of money.
He made a lot of
and
money.
He will make a bunch of money when he's done playing.
And he's won a lot of championships, and he's had his fun, and he's been great. And I don't know that he wants to do that to his body. So I put a little bit more stock into what he said than I think others
part
do.
Of that, I would think, is sharing a glass of wine with old Tommy saying, how much longer are you going to do
Absolutely.
This? Because I ain't playing with anybody else.
No, I think they would. I could
so
see them
gonna
both.
So we're going to ride this out for another couple of years? What's the deal? What's the plan here? But
over under on Tom Brady playing years set at 3. What do you guys take? Over or under?
At 3 more?
Yeah.
Under. Easy.
I don't know if easy. I see him playing 2 more.
Okay. That's about where I am.
The difference between 37 and 40?
Is huge.
It's not that much.
You don't
think
so?
It's big, but it's not that much. The difference between 40 and 43?
Yeah.
I'm assuming is gigantic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're one nick here or there for not being able to recover and missing 3 or 4 weeks. And that stuff starts happening, then you got to replace that guy. So... I'd have to take the under on that one.
This was good stuff, guys. Lots of banter back and forth.
Just wait till the friggin' draft.
So that's the thing. We've done these every week leading through this season, and this is obviously the last of real football because football is over.
We'll have to get the numbers for the people too.
Yeah, which is super depressing. I don't want to think about the football's over, but the draft is next month. So we have a lot to get ready for.
Combine's next month, draft.
Yeah, drafts months. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff coming up here that we can get excited about. So I think we'll probably just keep doing weekly podcasts and up to date with coaching staff changes. We haven't even gotten any of the coaching changes yet.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff that's changed. Ton of that. I mean, wow. Some of the turnover at some of these teams is exactly going to be unbelievable.
So
free agent quarterbacks. Trades. This is going to be a fun spring.
Yeah, the way too early preseason rankings that Vegas already has the Patriots going back to the Super Bowl. So I think we will continue on. Plenty of topics and things to get into. But if you want to follow Jake on Twitter, you can follow him at Jake B. Arians. You can follow me at @_sportspage with an I. And you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes by searching The Sports Page, again, with an I. But for Jake Arians, for Hype Train behind the producer, Mike, I'm Paige DeMacos. Thanks for listening to The Sports Page.